what it means to worship. Nou, ek probeer die dienste so 'n bietjie meer tweetalig maak. En as ons gaan kyk in die Afrikaanse Bybel vir die vertaling van worship, as ons in Engels lees worship, dan kry ons 'n paar verskillende opsies in Afrikaans. Partykeer is dit lofprysing, partykeer is dit aanbidding, partykeer is net bid, partykeer is dit net sing tot eer. So, dit is nogal 'n interessante onderwerp. Maar kan ek vra dat julle net vir 'n sekond julle oë toemaak, laat ons net die Afrikaanse, die Engels, Revelations 4, vers 6 to 8, Openbaring 4, vers 6 tot 8 lees. Can we just all close our eyes? The four living creatures, each having six wings, were full of eyes around and within, and they do not rest day or night, saying, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord Almighty, who was and is to come. Heilig, heilig, heilig is die Here God Almagtig. Hy wat was, hy wat is, en hy wat kom. Father, we just want to thank you, Father, for this morning that we can spend in your presence. Father, we come and give you this time, Father. We pray, Father, come and speak to us. Come and open our hearts. Come and open our minds. Come and open our eyes so we can know you better, so we can understand you better. Father, ek bid, Father, dat u met ons sal kom praat, Father. Dat u ons oë en ons ore sal oopmaak, dat u ons harte sal oopmaak om u stem te hoor. And Father, we just decide, Father, to lay down every worry, everything that's making a noise in our heads right now, Father. The worries about tomorrow, the problems about last week. And we just come and commit this time to you and say, come and speak to us. We, your children, are listening, Father. Father, I pray that you anoint my lips, Father, to speak your words and only your words. We invite your Holy Spirit to come and have his way. In the name of Jesus. Amen. So we read about these four living creatures. And they never stop. Not day, nor night. They keep on saying, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Why do they do that? Why do they never stop worshiping, bringing honor to God? The foundations of worship, foundation one, the first principle, there's many, but I just want to speak about three. The first principle is worship comes from a place of revelation. Lofprysing en aanbidding kom van 'n plek van openbaring, 'n plek van verstaan wie God is. A month and a half ago, I gave a sermon all about how do you see God? How do you understand God? When we say God, what is the thing that pops into your head? As ons praat van God, waaraan dink jy? Dink jy aan jou pa? Dink jy aan die kwaai hoof wat jy op skool gehad het wat jou net wil pak slaag gee? Waaraan dink jy? What enters into your head? Do you just see like a lotto ticket? We only go to God when we need him, when we want something from him. How do you see God? These four living creatures that we read about in Revelations, they in God's presence. They see him face to face. They know who he is. And therefore they cannot stop saying, holy, holy, holy. Is that the way that we see God? Do we see God as this almighty, fantastic, awesome God who loves us? Or do we see him as the strict dad with the rod in the hand? Because if we know who God is, we will also not be able to stop. As ons weet wie God is, sal ons ook nooit kan stop om te sê, heilig, heilig, heilig is die Here God almagtig nie. Weet jy wie jou God is? Verstaan jy wie hy is? Verstaan jy wat hy vir jou gedoen het? Now, how do you get to know God? Hoe leer ons God ken? Hoe leer ons om te verstaan hoe om 'n regte uitkyk na hom toe te hê? Well, firstly, it comes by God's word. We get revelation, ons kry openbaring deur wie God is, deur sy woord te lees. Who's got the Bibles here? Who's got notebooks here? Please, I just want to encourage you, come and take notes, come and take the word home, go and read through the scriptures, make sure that I'm not lying to you. You know, bring your Bibles, bring your textbooks, make notes, so during the week you can actually go and study and then make sure that, you know, allow God to speak to you, not just for 20 minutes, 30 minutes, 40 minutes on a Sunday, but throughout the week. Okay, firstly, God's word. You know, if you read how God time after time after time forgive the Israelites, He forgives them, they sin. He forgives them, they sin. He forgives them, they sin. You get to know something about God. If you read how God just comes time and time again and saves David. How David has the boldness to stand up against Goliath because Goliath is blaspheming his God. And how God delivers him, how God gives him the victory. You know, you get to know who God is. If you read what the disciples was willing to lay down, how they lay down their careers, how they lay down their lives, you get to know who God is. So I want to encourage you, spend some time in the Word. If you are struggling to see God in the right way, if jy sukkel om regtig vir God te sien as hierdie liefdevolle pa, ja regverdig, maar liefdevolle pa, spandeer tyd in die Woord. Take up your Word, ask God, show me who you are. You know, God takes quite some effort, quite some time in taking His Word and explaining who He is. He gives Himself names like, you know, God the Healer, God the Provider, the Protector. God gives Himself names to show us who He is, to explain Himself better to us. So take the time and go look for God in the Word. How do you see God? Wat is jou openbaring? Wat is jou verstaan van wie God is? Secondly, you know, just nature. Just creation. If you look at a painting, you know, many times you can see something about the guy who painted it or the woman who painted it. You know, if they are in love, it's just like red everywhere. And even when you've been, if you think back when you were still in love, I hope you're still all married couples are. But you know, you used to draw lots of hearts and everything was red and everything was smiling. And you know, if you look at the painting, you get to know something about the artist, right? If you look at creation, you know, what does that tell you about God? You know, if you just look at the flowers and the plants and the creatures and how small some of them are, and God made my sons love ladybugs. You know, they're so small, but they're so beautiful. The little red shell with the dots on them. So intricate, so, you know, to the finest detail. Just go look at yourself in the mirror. You know, God made us with such detail. Creation, the universe, everything tells you something about God. If you just lay on your back at night, you know, on the grass and just looks up to the skies, why did God place all the stars in the heaven? To tell us something about Himself. To show us how big He is. And although He is so big, although He is so magnificent, they aren't words, but magnificent sounds cool. Just show us how magnificent He are, and yet He knows every hair that is on your head right now. He knows what you are feeling. He knows what you are thinking. And He knows how you're still going to disappoint Him. But still, He loves you. And He loves you so much. And that's something that all creation testifies about. If you read Psalm 100, Psalm 19, verse 1. The heaven declares the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of His hands. Die Afrikaans sê, die hemel getuig van die mag van God. Die ijsspan maak die werk van sy hande bekend. That just sounds so amazing. Thirdly, people. People tells us who God is. You know, I just love, you know, every so often we have a testimony Sunday where people just bring their testimonies. Where they come and tell them about how they faced this impossible mountain before them and how God just came and delivered them. Mense kom vertel ons net van hoe God in hulle lewe oorkom het. Hoe hulle teen hierdie muur vasgeloop het, hoe elke deur toegemaak is waar by hulle gaan klop het en hoe die Here net 'n weg gemaak het waar daar nie 'n weg is nie. You know, the word says we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and our word of our testimonies. We cannot take our testimonies lightly. We need to tell people about how God healed us. We need to tell people about how God gave us work. We need to tell people about how God saved us from an accident. We used to stay very close to Radio Pretoria. Many of you will know that, and many of you will know that we stayed close to it. But we went through a time that we actually just started praying against racism. Because it was really something that kept our community back there in bondage. And soon after we started praying for that, my wife had an accident. She said she was driving the Polo and just suddenly it just lost control, just went off. But you know the amazing thing was when we went to actually look at the car, she bumped her mouth against the steering wheel, but nothing serious. Daniel, he was in the car, he bumped his head against the glass because the baby's chair was a bit wiggly, so he just, but nothing serious. But if we look at that where she had the accident, there was a huge tree on the left. There was a huge ditch and a boulder on the right. God literally just sent her in between those. And she hit a small tree and some other small trees. But, you know, it could have been so much worse. And I believe that God was the one who was there. God was the one who directed the car into these. There wasn't 30 centimeters of space on either side of the car. She literally just made it. Because that's the God we serve. And we need to tell people about what God is doing in our lives. We need to tell people about, you know, how the enemy comes and gives us this anxious and, you know, gives us fear and depression and anxiety and how God just comes and gives us peace. So people show us who God is. People tell us about what God has done in their lives and our faith is being stirred up. Fourthly, trials. Moeilikheid. Through difficulty, we get to know who God is. Deur moeilikheid kry ons baie keer te sien wie God is. Just go and read Job. I was really challenged. I don't normally like to read Job because it depresses me. When I think of, you know, how he lost everything. But then you get to the end where God comes and restores him. Where God comes and gives him more than whatever he had. How God comes and gives him, you know, how God just comes and restores him. And that is many times, you know, when we go through difficult times, we get to see how God walks with us. There's this old story, many of you will know it, the die spoorkies in die sand. It's very old, but I still like to tell it. There's this man who, just before his deathbed, looks back and he sees tracks in the sand, how him and God was walking on the sand next to the beach. But whenever times go tough, there's suddenly just one set of tracks. When he went through matric and had to drive matric exam, there's just one set of tracks. And when he went through his divorce, there's just one set of tracks. And when he got ill, there's just one set of tracks. And he turned back and said, but God, how does it work? Why did you leave me alone during my difficult time? And he said, no, I didn't leave you alone. I was just carrying you, so that your tracks weren't there. And many times, that's what happens. When we go through difficult times, when you go through challenges, you know, we get to experience God's grace. Yes, things around us are mad and things are chaotic, but still God was there. God was the one who gave me peace. God is the one who gave me something to eat, although my bank account was empty. God is the one who provided, you know, somebody brought nappies when we had no money to buy nappies. Through difficult times, we also see who God is. We also understand His heart for us better. The second foundation, worship because He is worthy. Genesis 22 verse 2. We read how God comes to Abram and tells Abram, take your son, your only son, whom you love, Isaac. Take him to the area of Moriah and go sacrifice him as a burnt offering to me. Now, this is the son who he has been waiting for years. This is God's promise to him. And God comes and God says, sacrifice him. Give him back to me. The amazing thing is that Abram knew that he could trust God with the promises of God. He knew, although it didn't make sense to his mind, he knew in his heart that he can give the gift that God has given to him, he can give it back because it's God's gift anyway. If we just read a little bit further from verse 5. On the third day, Abram looked up and saw the place in the distance. He said to his servant, stay here with the donkeys. I and the boy will go over there. We will worship, and then we will come back to you. Abram says, sacrificing his son, sacrificing his dream, sacrificing the promise of God to God is worship. Laying down that which God has given to him is worship. If somebody comes to me today and says, no, he feels that God says he must sacrifice his son, I'll have him locked up in an insane asylum. You know, we want to try and make sense of everything, and if it doesn't make sense, it's obviously not from God. But Abram knew God better. Abram knew that doesn't matter what happens, even if he sacrifices his son, God's promise is true. God's promise is fixed. If I sacrifice my son, God will make something happen. But he says to his servants, we will come back to you. We're going to go and worship, but we will come back to you. What is your Isaac? What is the thing that God has promised you that has become bigger than God himself? You know, the ability to farm, the ability to teach or be a teacher. What is the thing that has become bigger in your life than God himself? The promise of God, the gift that God has given you. And are you willing to lay down that which God has given you? You know, the ability to pastor the church. That is God's promise from me, and we need to be careful that God's promises don't become bigger than the God we serve. More important than the God we serve. Romans 12, from verse 1. Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercies, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God, for this is true worship. Offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, for this is true worship. Many times when we think of worship, we think of singing songs. We think of lifting our hands and proclaiming with our words. But it's not just about words. It's about life. Does your life bring glory to God? Does that which you do during the day or during the night bring glory to God? You see, it's not about saying the right things. It's not about talking to people and singing the songs. It's about living. Let your lives, let your bodies be a living sacrifice. What is the thing that people know about you? You know, do they know that you're a Bull supporter? I hope so. Do they know about, you know, your career? You're a farmer, or you're an engineer, or you're a teacher, or you're a student, or do they know that you are a sold-out Christian, that you live for Jesus? What is the identity that you have among your friends, among your neighborhood? Is that the fact that the people around you know that you serve Jesus, that you've got a passion for Jesus? Die Afrikaans sê, gee jouself aan God as 'n lewende heilige offer. The last couple of months, doesn't matter which angle I take to prepare a sermon, it all boils down to one point, and that is living what we say. If you're a Christian, follow Christ. It doesn't help you tell everybody around you, no, you're a Shark supporter, but you never watch games, you never buy the little fishy emblem. You know, but why does it work that way with Christianity? You know, we will tell people sometimes, you know, we're Christians, but it's not priority in our lives. You know, reading the Bible falls into, you know, our free time, maybe on a Saturday afternoon when we've got nothing better to do. You know, well, you all sit in church, so you are the good people. But many times when you know, people in the world, we say we're Christians, but we don't follow Christ. And that is the thing that should make us different in the world. People should know that we're Christians even before we tell them. That should be our identity. They should know about our rugby preferences or our soccer preferences or our... They should know that we serve Jesus. Which brings us to the third point. Worship is living in obedience and under His lordship. Luke 6 verse 46. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? The Afrikaans says, Watter sin het dit dat julle my aanspreek met Here, Here, en nie doen wat ek sê nie? Jesus says himself, there's no point of calling yourself a Christian if you don't act like a Christian. There's no point of saying Jesus is Lord and not living, not doing what he's saying, not doing what he's telling us. What will happen if you work for a company, Eskom, but you don't follow their rules, you don't show up on time, you don't dress appropriately, you never go to get the clearances and the passes and the, you won't get the paycheck at the end of the month either. Because then you're just deceiving yourself, because then you're not working for the company. And then it's the same with Christianity. If we say that we are Christians, it needs to reflect in the way we make decisions. It needs to reflect into our day-to-day living. We need to be obedient to what God is telling us. Jesus says in Luke 6, if somebody comes to me and he listens to what I'm saying and he goes out and does this, this is like a man who builds a house, who digs a deep foundation and lays the foundation on the rock. That's Danny's abbreviation, but you can go and read it in Luke 47 and 48. I've seen, here in Stanhope, and there's lots of houses that has major cracks because there's no rock beneath the soil. There's just turf. There's nothing there. But what will happen with a house that's not built on a strong foundation? It gets cracks and it falls down. And that's what happens with our lives. If we listen to God's word, but we don't go out and do what God tells us, we're going to be like a house that's built without a foundation. It's going to get major cracks and fall in. But on the other hand, Jesus says that if we listen to what He's telling us, and we go out and we do what He's telling us, we will be like a house that is built on a strong foundation. We won't get cracks. And if there's like little cracks, it won't go further than that. We need to start doing and not just hearing. But once again, you people are in church, so you hear the word and you go out and do it. But that needs to be something that defines us. We need to be wise like this guy and build our foundation on the rock. Acts 2, verse 36. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made Jesus both Lord and Messiah. The Afrikaans say, Here en Christus. Lord, referring to authority, the ruler, the owner, the master. Jesus is our ruler. Jesus is our owner. Jesus is our master. And Messiah refers to the other bit, the Savior, the one who came and delivered us. And we need to make sure that we walk in the understanding that Jesus is both. He is the one who saves us. He is the one who delivers us. But He's also our master. He's also our ruler. He's also our owner. Jesus is nie net die Christus nie, maar Hy is ook die Here. Die Here verwys na die Heerser, die een wat oor ons lewe regeer. Christus verwys na die een wat ons kom vrymaak, wat ons kom red van ons self, wat ons kom red van sonde. Maar ons moet in verhouding stap en weet dat Jesus is albei. We cannot only look at the one side or the other. We need to understand and walk in the knowledge that Jesus is both. 1 Chronicles 6 says, You were bought with a price. You're no longer your own. You were bought with a price. Ons is gekoop. Die prys is betaal. What happened on the cross? We as humans who are sinful were on a straight and quick road to death, eternal death. But then Jesus came And instead of us dying, he was the one who took our place. He came and stood between us and eternal death. And the implication thereof is that we live our lives for him now. We were bought with a price. We are no longer our own. The price is betal. We need to live our lives as if the price was paid. We need to live our lives no longer for our own benefit, but to see God's kingdom come. We need to live our lives in the knowledge that I was supposed to die. I was supposed to spend eternity apart from God. I was supposed to spend eternity in hell, as was read in the offering. As the rich man, you know, where the rich man ended up. Where he just asked, you know, can Lazarus just bring a drop of water to put it on my tongue? That's where we're supposed to end up because of our sins. But Jesus took that upon himself. But there is a transaction that takes place. The Bible says we were bought with a price. Bought means we were somebody's and now we're somebody else's. We need to live our lives with the knowledge that we are no longer ourselves. We are Christ's. We belong to him. And that is the way that we need to make our decisions. You know, if you are a good slave or a good servant, you don't make your decisions according to what will suit my needs the best. You know, if somebody is put in charge of a farm, you know, a voerman, and he's just constantly looking after his own interests, you know what? He will never plant because that's work. Why will I work? You know, he'll slaughter some of the cattle every second week so that he can have meat. No, a good servant is somebody who has the owner's interest at heart. He plants, he works hard to make sure that the owner is the one who gets the rewards, who gets the returns. It's not about his own interest. It's not about what I need, it's not about the person who I trust, the person for whom I work, what is his needs, what is his belongings, how can I bring his belongings to my heart? There was a transaction made on the cross. Jesus' life was exchanged for my life. I am no longer my own. I must live for Christ. We must live for Christ. Romans 6 verse 3 to 5. Or do you not know that as many as you that were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? Therefore we were buried with him through baptism into death, and just as Christ rose from the dead through the glory of his Father, even so we also shall walk in newness of life. Verse 5. If we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Through baptism, we go under the water. What is the good English word? We are united in his death. As we come up, we are united in his resurrection. We walk in newness of life, meaning our old life has been left behind. Our old mindset, our old worldviews has been left behind. We are new, we are fresh, and we live for the purposes of God. Is that the way that we approach life? New, fresh, knowing that, you know, we no longer live for our own benefit. We live for the benefit of God's kingdom. We live to build God's house. We exist to glorify God. Brendan, can you go, please? Do you know that, I've said it a couple of times, but we are in this city to bless the city. We are in the city to promote God's purpose for the city. We are not here to we're not here for ourselves. We are here to be a part of what God is doing. We've got the privilege of partnering with God. We've got the privilege of working with the Creator. He has chosen us to be his ambassadors, to be his representative in this town. You're not in this town because you're part of this town. No, you're in this town as an ambassador, as a representative of God. You're in this town to make sure that God's purposes is being promoted. You're in this town to make sure that God's kingdom is being built. Can we just stand? I just want us to worship one more song, and then I'll close. Something bigger than ourselves, Father. Father, thank you that we can be a part of, Father, what you are doing, Father. That we can be bearers of good news, Father. That we can bring hope. That we can bring healing. That we can bring restoration, Father, to the city, to the people around us. Thank you that we are, Father, just like the copper cable, Father, that brings the electricity to our homes, Father. Thank you that we can bring, Father, your life, Father, to people's lives. That we can be that copper wire, Father. Father, thank you that you chose, Father,